How is it going, everyone? It is once again me, Chuy, and I am one of the hosts of this horror podcast titled Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. And what we do in this podcast is we take something that has to do with the horror genre, obviously, which can include a film, a story, or even a TV show. And the topic for today's episode is none other than the 2006 adaptation of the video game titled Silent Hill. But before we start, though, I want to ask you guys to go out and check our Linktree page, which is linktree.com/mythsbehindlgds, because under you can find all of our links to our social media accounts, like our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. You can also find a link to our online store, in which you can score some sweet, sweet, sweet EMBO swag for yourself. Now, before we start, we are taking a short little commercial break, and after that, Mariah and I will jump right into the discussion for the film, so stick around. Okay, Mariah, so we are now at your segment, and the topic for this episode is none other than the movie based on the video game Silent Hill. So, before I ask you for your first impressions, I want to share a couple of things about this movie.
Okay.
As I mentioned, the movie's based on a video game called Silent Hill, which, for you youngins out there in the audience, came out sometime in the mid-90s for the PlayStation. And I never played it. Have you played it?
I played a little bit of it. I hardly remember because it was my brother's PlayStation. So I hardly remember that one. But I do remember the PSP version, though, that I played a lot of.
Oh, so how do you like that one?
Oh, it was so good. I think the second in the game series, I think it's called Shattered Memories or something like that. And it's really creepy. I loved it. Loved it so much. And I'm really glad to, I did want to mention that I have played the game first before I even watched this film. So this was my first time seeing it. So it was, I'm really glad that I was able to play the game first to kind of understand everything. So that kind of helped in my favor.
I think that game, Shattered Memories, is like the fourth or fifth game in the series. I might be wrong though, because there was Silent Hill 1, 2, 3, and then 4, I think.
Yeah, and then PSP came out a lot later.
Yeah.
Like 2000 and something.
Yeah, because I actually played part 2 of this game, Silent Hill 2, which was a great game. Though, sadly, I only played it that one time. I mean, I beat it, right? But ever since I played it that time, I never picked it up again. So I have some vague memories of that game, but I remember it being really good. And I do remember that that game has several different endings depending on what you do as you play the game. And one of the endings is that you find out that it's hilarious, because you find out that the entire game is just like a computer sim that's being played by a dog.
Wow.
So at the very end, the main character comes into this room, right? And he sees that it's a dog that's playing this video game, and it's like his life. So it's kind of hilarious. I just wanted to share that because I thought it was pretty funny. But that's part two, mind you, of the game. I never played the original, but I did hear about it. It's because I never had a PlayStation. I always had Nintendo consoles up until the Nintendo 64, and then I got a PS2 when I was older. I think I was in my early 20s by then, like 20, 21 years old. But by that point, the PS2 was already old.
Yes.
But going back to the movie here real quick, the cast includes everyone's favorite person that dies in every movie they play, except for this one, Sean Bean, the dad. Did you know, Mariah, that this actor is infamous for supposedly dying in every movie he's ever made?
What? Uh-huh. No way.
Yeah, Sean Bean. He actually came out also in Game of Thrones, I think, like in the first season. And he was one of the first characters to die. Basically, he has died a lot of times. So I'm actually going to Google that because I'm curious now. But he plays Christopher in this movie, who is the dad of the girl that we'll get to in a minute. So how many times has Sean Bean died? In movies, of course, because we're talking real life. So according to Google, Mariah, he's died in over 20 of his films.
Wow,
So
that's
that's a lot of
insane.
movie deaths. So other people in the cast include, hope I'm saying her name right, Radha Mitchell, which is the mom, Rose, Laurie Holden, who is Sybil, the cop, Devora Unger, who is the mom. I believe her name in the movie is Dahlia or Delilah. Dahlia, right? Yes, Dahlia.
Dahlia, yeah.
Kim Coates plays the cop, Gucci, and of course we have, I hope I say her name right too, because it's kind of an unusual name, Jodelle Ferland, who plays the girl, Sharon. And one last thing I want to share before we start, Mariah, is that, well, a couple of things. First of all, the movie cost about $50 million to make, and it made $100 million.
Wow.
Now, keep in mind that if you add marketing costs to that, more than likely they spend about 70 to 75 million.
70. Oh, yeah.
So that means that all in all, they made about 25 to $30 million back, which is not very little money. I mean, it's actually a lot of money, but they probably expected a lot more. And it was good enough that they actually made a sequel to this. I don't know if you knew about
Yes, Revelation, I
that.
think, right? Yeah, I've not watched it yet, but I plan to.
That movie is okay. I think this one is better, in my opinion, but I don't want to say anything else because I don't want to bias you in case you do watch it. But I want to go back to the girl because Jodelle Ferland, I haven't seen her in a lot of stuff. I remember her in this, of course. And then I also remember her in another movie, a horror movie, in which she also plays a demonic child. And I believe that movie is called Case 39 with Renee Zellweger of The Diary of Bridget Jones Diary. Sorry, The Diary of Bridget.
Oh,
The Diary of Bridget Jones, sorry. And in that movie, she is creepy AF. We should do that movie at some point.
oh, yeah, definitely. Anything with like creepy children just draws me in because I think I'm a creepy child at heart.
Oh man, maybe.
You're like, no, never mind.
I don't know if she's done any movies lately, so I kind of want to maybe look into that later because I'm curious. But anyway, so I guess we can start with the story of the movie Mariah, if you're okay with that.
Of course.
So we start with a scene in which a child is walking around at night. She stumbles upon this, like, what is it, like a cliff maybe, right?
Yes.
And you see a lady running after her, screaming her name. That turns out to be her mom. And so she catches up with the child. And the child is having some sort of fit, just screaming at the top of her lungs, Silent Hill! Silent Hill! So, right off the bat, that kind of creeped me out a little bit. I don't know about you.
I loved it. It was so good. It was so creepy.
Have you ever sleepwalked, by the way?
Yes, I have. And I have actually eaten a sandwich.
Really?
Yeah, my dad, he video recorded me when I was a little girl. I would sleepwalk and go get like my dolls. And sometimes I would go to the fridge and make a sandwich. I have home videos of me
Wow.
sleepwalking. Yeah. So this was really cool to see this because I was like, oh, that's so me. Like, this actually happened to me in real life. So that was really fun
Do you have
to
any
watch.
actual memories of that? Like, do you re remember doing that?
No,
Okay.
I do not remember any of, well, the only proof I have are the home videos of me. And I
Wow.
have like this nightgown on from like head to toe. And I remember my dad would always say like, "Hey, go back to bed." And like I wouldn't snap out of it. And he would have to like clip like that thing you do with your fingers
Oh,
to
like,
like
snap your
making the
fingers, yeah.
noise, snapping your fingers. He had to do that a couple times to get me. And then I would kind of wake up and then he would put me to sleep. So, yeah,
Wow.
kind of creepy for sure.
I believe I've never done this in my life, not that I'm aware of, at least.
Oh,
That'd be
wow.
creepy if I eventually found out that I've been sleepwalking my whole life.
Like you slept walked last night
I
to
know,
the liquor store. I'm just kidding.
right? Who drank all my beer? Oh, that was me.
That's
I
funny.
woke up at 4 in the morning and had a couple without me. That
Or
would suck because that means that I didn't enjoy them.
you probably did in another world.
Well, yeah, the alternate dimension, the multiverse, Chewie enjoyed them, but not me.
Yeah. That's funny.
But we fast forward a couple years in time, and now we see Sharon, who is the girl, and Rose in this kind of like a field of grass, I guess, a grass field maybe.
Yeah.
And so she tells the girl that, hey, you're sleepwalking, and we gotta look into that because you keep screaming this name, Silent Hill. And the girl's like, I don't know what that is. I never heard of it in my life. And then the lady, Rose, is like, well, I'm gonna take you there because we gotta find out what that place is and why you're so obsessed with it. So, does that make sense to you?
It does, but it's also very out there. As well. But I do feel like at one point the mom just really wanted to get to the bottom of this and maybe bring her closure at one point. Like that's how I would do it if I were in this situation. But at the same time, not knowing about this place, not knowing what like reviews of what other people have said, and at this point in time in the movie, the internet is available. So we do have some information. I mean, that's how my mom and I used to go Stead Adventure. We would look up places, or haunted places. So I think, I don't know if I would do that, just not knowing an unknown place like that and taking my baby.
It's one thing to, I guess, go on, like, explore a place because it's haunted or whatever, and that's cool. I mean, if anybody out there does it, more power to you. But, I mean, you did it, of course, you just mentioned. But it's a different thing when I feel like maybe she could have thought of, I don't know, maybe taking the girl to the doctor first. Or maybe she already did and they just kind of didn't show us. To me, it's just. It's awkward that she would just pack her bags and say, "Hey, let's go, kid. I'm gonna take you to the place that you scream about
That's
at
a nightmare. Just you saying that. It sounds like a nightmare in real life.
Yeah, and then not only that, but she leaves without her husband.
Yes.
So, I guess because she knew that he was gonna just convince her not to go. But to me, that's all the more reason to maybe not go because why are you not gonna tell him? But anyways, that's just my thought process. But then of course she leaves with the girl and Chris, the dad, comes back home and he finds them gone. And she's not picking up the phone anymore. She's ghosting him pretty much before ghosting was a thing. But he comes home and he finds a computer and he sees that she has been looking into Silent Hill, like you mentioned. So there was information about this in the internet. It was kind of old-fashioned, I guess, because this is 2006.
Yes, very limited information at that time. And I do feel at that time when, I was alive around that time. So I do remember the internet and the dial-up and everything. And me and my mom looking up haunted places around our town to go and ghost adventure. But my mom would always bring somebody else who would also protect us in a way, just in case we ran into paranormal danger or anything. Or not danger, just you never know. So yeah, we always had some type of somebody else, another adult with us, or my dad and stuff. And so we would always be very careful. And we would also be very respectful too when we would visit cemeteries and stuff like that. So yeah, taking that risk and that time, 2006, I can just imagine just the risk with all of that. So.
Now, of course, the dad freaks out, but then we cut back to the lady, Rose. Sorry, yeah, Rose and Sharon. We cut back to them, and they're driving, and they pull into a gas station. And so they pull over, and the cop is kind of just lurking around for some reason, as cops do. And she sees that the little girl is by herself in the car. And she approaches the girl, and the girl's like, "I don't talk to strangers," and just kind of rolls up the window. And
So
that
cute.
was pretty cool, actually. And she's like, "Okay, good girl." And so then she
My chocolate
so then she talks to Rose, and Rose is like, "Nope, not having it. Bye. See ya. I'm busy." And the cop gets all nosy and writes the license plate. And then we see them driving towards Silent Hill, and the cop is right behind them with the sirens on. And she pulls over Rose. And Rose pulls one of the most gangster moves ever and waits for the cop to get off her motorbike. And when she walks to her car, she just peels out. So I thought that was pretty funny, actually. And then, chan chan chan, we see that as they're speeding off, a child crosses the road. And it causes Rose to turn the steering wheel, and they crash, and then she bangs her head on her steering wheel, right? So, what do you think about all this? Like, there's a cop chasing them, they escape. And as they're driving, there's a child, or what looks to be a child, in the middle of the road. So, what would you think if that was you?
I've actually had a very similar experience that I actually did on the show, actually. I think it was like a ghost story one about like seeing a girl in the middle of the road late at night and stuff. And I think it was about the Donkey Lady Bridge. And it was so creepy with my mom driving. And I remember seeing just a lady and stuff. Thankfully, nothing happened to like the car, but I do remember the feeling and the fear that I got from seeing somebody walking late at night and didn't look human-ish. I think in a way this scene kind of seems very paranormal in some weird way.
It was, and I think she thought it was a real girl, and she just kind of turned her wheel to avoid hitting her.
Yes. And that too is when I had experienced that one time with my mom. She disappeared like nothing. I was like, where'd she go? So that's it brought me back to that memory. I don't know, it seems very paranormal to me in this scene that we were at.
It's the first hint that we get that something is not right with this town, I don't think.
Yeah. And oh, the ghostly. Just everything about it, just I was instantly in love.
So we're getting there because Rose wakes up and she sees that her daughter Sharon is nowhere to be seen. So she gets out of the car and she stumbles into the very creepy looking Silent Hill. So you said you liked the town, didn't
I loved it. It
you?
was so good. It definitely reminded me, of course, of the Shattered Memories video game on the PSP version. And it was so cool because I had never seen this film ever in my entire life, ever before. And I remember a friend of mine, I think years ago, told me, you should cosplay her. You would be perfect because of my size. I'm only 4'6". So I think I will cosplay her during Halloween this year. But I don't know, I just totally fell in love with this film, and just playing the game first made the movie more attractive in some way. Just seeing the game come to life is just everything to me. It just wow. It just blew me away. I was really, really excited.
This, to took me back to the time that I played the second game in the series, Silent Hill 2. It's very similar as far as the look of it is, in the sense that you see this fog everywhere, and it looks like ash floating in the wind, kind of. And everything looks abandoned. There is nowhere to be, no people around anywhere to be seen, except for these creepy white mannequin-looking things that are disgusting.
I loved it. It was so good. The dolls. Oh, they're
Yes.
just so beautiful looking, just so still.
So as Rose is looking around for Sharon, she hears a siren, an air raid siren. And I don't think towns have those anymore, at least not that I'm aware of. Maybe they do.
I lived in Alabama at one point in my life and in my early 20s, and that siren gave me heart palpitations. No lie, it sounded just like it. And we would always have tornado sirens every week. So it was every day, almost every other day, there were tornado sirens. And I lived in a very small town in Alabama for a little period of time, and the sirens would go off, so I would have to go to the shelter almost every day, just going to the shelter because I didn't have one. And it sounded just as real as this film. So yes, there are sirens that are I guess in Alabama it's very common for tornadoes every day there. It doesn't matter if it's tornado season or not. They have, I think, two seasons throughout the year, so it's all year long. So it sounded just like the tornado siren in Alabama.
I hadn't thought about that, and that makes sense because that is not anything common down here where I live. So I don't think it would make sense for them to have that here, which is why I've never heard one in my life.
Yeah, I think I still have the video of me, like I was recording the TV while the siren was going off in the background. And I was like, oh no, this is hearing it in person is the worst feeling in the world. This movie was it was so good in just different parts of horror, true horror, that just really got me excited.
So Rose is walking around and she stumbles upon this group of weird things that are start to chase her. After the siren sounds, actually I forgot to mention that after it sounds, the town gets even more messed up looking, which I would have thought was very difficult to happen, but it did. So it gets super dark and the walls look like yellow. And there's a lot of bugs everywhere and like just really disgusting looking. And eventually she runs away from them and she then, I guess, wakes up in this bowling alley, right? I think. Because.
Oh yes, that looks like almost like an image they inserted into the film.
What do you mean?
Like it's too still.
Oh, you mean like
It
a green
looks
screen?
like somebody, yes, like it looks like somebody just inserted an image on the photo. What is it that they do now?
Yeah, like a
I don't
background
know.
type of thing, a green screen.
Yes, it looked too fake.
And so she gets out of there and she starts walking around, and then she comes across this road and she sees that there is a huge hole in the ground and she can't get out of Silent Hill anymore. And then this weird lady approaches her, screaming at her. And it turns out that her name is Dahlia, who we eventually find out is Sharon's real mother. Because I don't think we've mentioned, Mariah, that Sharon, the girl, is adopted by Rose and Chris. So she's not their biological daughter. And Dahlia looks all disheveled, like a kind of like a homeless person, maybe. And for a minute, I thought she was gonna push Rose into the cliff. I don't know about you.
Yes, I was definitely getting heart palpitations at this scene because I thought, oh no. And then I thought the other way around that Rose was going to push Adalia, but apparently she didn't throw her off the cliff. She just pushed her to the side of the cliff, which I was so happy about, but I was so scared. Like when you're watching this scene, you just think, oh no, who's gonna win?
So she escapes, right? And she actually we cut down to the dad. It kind of goes back and forth, right? We have a couple of scenes with them in Silent Hill, but at the same time, Chris, the father, is looking for them, and he's trying to look for clues and asking people if they've seen them, stuff like that. And then we cut back to Rose, and she sees a drawing, and she knows that she has to go to these places because it appears that they're important. So she calls her husband, but he doesn't hear anything. All he hears is just like noise, white noise. And we see him driving, and then he comes across this police blockade, and he tells him that he's the husband, that he's looking for them. So he meets the cop. And the cop is like, "Hey man, I understand, but we got somebody there with them." And that means the cop that tried to pull them over, Sybil, because she reported that she was chasing after them before the accident. So he tries to tell Chris, "Calm down. It's all gonna be okay. There's a cop in there with them. She's looking for them." And he's like, "Okay, whatever." I don't think he was happy to hear that, but I think he wanted to go in there himself, but they didn't let him. And we cut to the cop, Sybil, who she has arrested Rose. And I thought that's kind of funny because look around you, Sybil, cop. The world has ended. There are no people in the streets. Everything is abandoned. There are no roads leading out of this place. And your first thought is, I gotta arrest this woman. So to me, it's like that makes no sense, but okay. I don't know what you thought about that, Mariah.
It was really weird to me in some way because at one point I thought about how we definitely have seen this actually happen in real life. And so that's what this reminded me of too, watching the film. If you're in a situation like that, wouldn't you want to help instead of arresting people? Is that just too terrible to do? I mean, look, like you said, look around you. It's y'all are in a very difficult situation where you just kind of want to find some type of relief in some way and get to safety. I don't, yeah, I also didn't get, I didn't get it why she even put the handcuffs on her. I was like, what? What are you doing?
They're walking around, they're trying to get somewhere and find people to tell them what's going on. And as we're walking, the cop tells him a story about how she rescued a kid that was kidnapped in, not in Silent Hill, but around Silent Hill, right? I think. Because if she had gone in, she would have not been able to go out anymore. But she shares that story with Rose. And as they're walking around talking about that story, they come across the weird looking thing. That's something like a weird mannequin looking thing. And she's trying to tell her the cop, Sybil, "Stop. Don't come any closer, I'm gonna shoot you." And again, like this is some sort of a weird judgment call by her, I think. Because if I saw something like that walking towards me in the street, I would either shoot it or run out of there as fast as I can. What about you, Mariah?
Oh yeah, I would totally be like, I'm out running for my life. Hopefully by that time, if I'm in a situation like that, I have like blades that I can I can throw. But yeah, if I were in this video game, of course. But yeah, it's so creepy. And also, I think in the scene, I think the mannequin doesn't have arms, right? It's walking really slowly too.
Yeah, I don't think it has arms, but it also kind of looks like one of those jackets they put on you in the hospitals, the straitjackets. I don't know if they still use those anymore.
Yes, absolutely. That too. I was freaking out because you could also see them, I think, in the side where I guess a junkyard is, where some cars are just abandoned and stuff, and you can see more of them. I'm like, not today, girl.
So in the commotion, Rose is like, deuces, I'm out of here. So she runs away as the cop is fighting this weird looking mannequin thing with no arms.
I would totally do
Of
the
course, me too. So, but now she knows she has got to go to the school because the picture told her to. So she gets in there and she finds keys and a flashlight, which I thought was kind of convenient. But it's kind of what happens in the game too. You're exploring around and you enter buildings and you're walking into rooms, trying to find clues as to how to get out of there. You find supplies like a gun, keys, lights, etc. So that part kind of reminded me of the game too. Now we cut back to the dad, Chris, who is talking to the cop, and the cop is again telling him, "Hey man, you know what? This happens. Women leave husbands all the time." And
It takes a can.
so this cop is useless. On the one hand, I guess that could be true that sometimes people will leave their spouses without any reason specifically. They run away or they run away with somebody else. Chun chun chun. Yeah. But Chris doesn't want to believe that. He believes that his wife is not gonna do that. And therefore this cop is useless. I don't really like him too much, the cop. He's a little not annoying, but he's kind of just like off-putting in a way.
The character is
Yeah.
very not likable in some sense.
It's not that he's not like a mean character, but he's just like trying to. But then we find out why that is. We find out why he's acting like that later on in the movie, but for now, I don't like him. So, cutting back to Rose, she is walking around the school and she thinks she sees her daughter walking around. So, of course, she runs after her and then she walks into the restroom. And she thinks she sees the little girl hiding in one of the stalls. And then she opens it and she finds what I thought was a very creepy sight. I don't know
I loved it.
about you. I'm gonna say something to you and I'm gonna bring it up again later. But this thing she finds, it's a body, a corpse. That's tangled up in what looks to be like chains, right? So it really gave me Hellraiser
Yes, I was just about to say Hellraiser.
vibes.
Like the way it's tied and just like I don't know, stretched in some way.
Yeah, because this looks like the work of the Cenobites. The body is all in a weird position, and chains going like running all through the body and missing limbs and stuff like that. So I was like, is Pinhead coming out in this movie? So then she hears people outside and she locks the door. And this is when the siren sounds off again. And the creature comes alive. Chun chun chun. The creature in the bathroom saw. So what did you feel when you saw that happen?
I was really excited. I was really excited because I guess seeing the fear right before he, I guess, gets alive and stuff, she has to hopefully get something out of his mouth at one point. In the restroom,
I think she got a
right?
key
I
or
think
something like that, yeah.
yes, or like a flyer or something. I'm not sure. Yeah, like a key, and she had to get it out of his mouth, and it was so creepy because I thought at one point the wires were going to attack her, and apparently they didn't, but it really did look like it, and so you're rooting for her to not get picked, or at least get hurt in some way. And at one point I did think it was gonna attack her and like eat her up or something. But thankfully it didn't. So I was really, that moment right there was really intense for me, where I was super excited. I was like, oh girl, what are you doing? But yeah, go ahead and try. And then afterwards the siren turns on, and then he gets alive and stuff. I was like, whoa, what is this? I was like, am I tripping out right now? I know I've had like two coffees. So it was crazy, but I loved it so much. It definitely reminded me of those stories, like I guess legends. Well, I don't know. I remember my grandma used to always talk about like Mexican legends and like folklore from Texas, South Texas and stuff. She would always say about like the demonic dog, and that's how it looked like too, the way it walked out and stuff, and that we see. And so I thought, wow, maybe that's some type of inspiration, maybe just the way it's walking out of the stall and stuff. That was so crazy. I loved it.
Yeah, because this thing is chasing after her, and it's not walking, it's just kind of crawling on the floor. And then it kind of like makes cockroaches or some weird looking bugs that I thought, wait, that's kind of gross.
I wish they were cockroaches.
So she's like, oh hell no, I'm out of here. So she runs out of there, but the bugs caught up with the people that were trying to get to her earlier. And I guess they eat them or something. And as she's running away, she runs into Chan Chan Chan, none other than Mr. Pyramid Head. So, what do you think of this dude?
Not as scary as I thought he was going to be in the movie. I didn't really find it too scary. I thought very muscular type. The knife was a little creepy, but other than that, I didn't find him scary. Well, at one point they show him really tall, and I'm like, whoa, that would freak me out if I, because I'm really tiny, so that would definitely freak me out in person. But I think that was the only scary thing about him, was his knife and how tall he was. And that was
He actually comes out in the second game in the series.
Oh, okay.
He's not the main villain, but he's one of the main enemies you come across as you explore Silent Hill in that game. And I do remember the first time that I saw him in the game, I was like, what is that thing? Because, yeah, like you mentioned, he's huge. He's, I don't know, maybe like 8 feet tall, whatever. From his feet all the way to the top of his pyramid head. And when you first run into him, I believe you have to fight him in this small room. It's a tiny room. And all you have with you at that point in the game is a gun with like 10 bullets and a baseball bat and a crowbar or something like that. So you have to like fight this thing hand to hand. He's got like a huge knife that's like 5 feet long. So that part of the game was pretty creepy. And I kind of agree with you on that opinion you had. He looks like the game counterpart. The knife is pretty long and sharp and dangerous as well. But I don't know, I feel like they didn't give him enough to do in this movie. So, a sad, sad Pyramid Head. Or sad for him, rather. And then she escapes, but then the cop, Sybil, shows up and rescues her. And she has to shoot this thing a few times. So then Rose tells the cop, Sybil, I found this key, and I think this is the next place we gotta go to. So they get there to the hotel, and they come across this other lady named Anna. We cut to the dad, Chris, and he's trying to look for information about Silent Hill. He actually breaks into a building, right?
Yes.
He breaks into a building and he finds a picture of his daughter. Or not his daughter, but he finds a picture of a girl named Alessa. And she looks just like his daughter. So he gets freaked out. And we cut back to Rose. Anna warns them that something about the darkness coming to them. So they run away. The siren rings off and they get to this church. And this is when trouble starts. Chun chun chun. And the town starts changing to the way it does when it gets dark. And Pyramid Head has caught up with them. So he picks up Anna. And this was kind of a gruesome sight also, which also gave me the vibes of Hellraiser. I don't know about you. Because Pyramid Head picks her up and basically just skins her alive. So, I don't know what you thought about that kill.
I definitely can see the similarities for sure. It was really creepy.
So, Rose and Sybil, the cop, are able to go into the church. And the people don't are like, who are these ladies? We've never seen them in our lives. So they kind of start approaching them, and the cop gets in the defensive. So it's like, hey, chill, stop, don't come any closer, kind of thing. And this is where we meet the lady, Christabella, who is apparently the leader of this community of people. So what do you think about her when you first see her?
Honestly, I don't know. It's really weird the way I want to describe it, but I just kept thinking. I think her heart was not, definitely not in the right place at all. And you can see that just the way she gives you a look. You can just hear the language. I knew right away that this is not a good person, or not a good person, but like not someone to be trusted. And I think it has to do with going with your gut. Your gut is always right. So I was like, this chick is the devil. I don't know, just not the devil, but probably just very has evil intentions. And I, yes, I was like, oh no.
If there's one thing that I've learned from horror movies is that people who are in charge of religious cults are never good people.
No.
In horror movies, mind you. I don't know about real life because I've never met one in real life. But in movie world, anyone that runs some sort of a cult or weird group of people are never really good. So when I first saw this lady, I was like, I mean, I've seen this movie before, mind you, a long time ago. I hadn't seen this movie in, I want to say, about 15 years, give or take.
Oh wow,
It'd been a
that's a
while.
long time.
Yeah, because I saw it when it came out, not in the theaters, mind you, but in DVD. So it was like 2007 or 8, maybe. And I saw it maybe once more after that. So, maybe like 10, 12 years that I've seen it. But yeah, this lady, when I saw her today, or when I was watching the movie, rather, not today, but when I was watching the movie, I was like, this lady is a Karen.
Oh no.
The ultimate monster of all monsters. So Sharon shows her a picture of, sorry, Rose shows her a picture of Sharon, and she sees it and she's like, you are witches, you are the devil, get out of here. So the people start attacking them, and and Sybil is able to hold him off as Rose escapes, but she can't take on the entire town, so she gets overrun. And they beat her up pretty badly.
Oh yeah, I did not like this scene. I mean, I know I like gore to an extent, but it's kind of harder when you're going for gore and stuff, and when you know like the actor, the acting, of course, in horror movies is actually trying to do good. And this scene, we do see a brutal hits, multiple hits to her. And they're not just, I mean, they're like these big old bats or baseball bats that they're hitting her with or something. And they just bruise her up so badly. It was just horrible just to watch. But, ugh.
That wasn't the pretty side, was it?
No, definitely not. Because she has good intentions.
Yeah.
She really does for Rose and her daughter.
Yeah, so that was kind of a weird, not weird, but a hard scene to watch, rather.
Yeah, I think gore is more enjoyable when it's like evil people. And when it's like done to like, you know, people who have good intentions, it's like, oh no, I don't want to watch this, or this is hurting my feelings and stuff. So yeah.
So Rose is able to get to the basement of the building, and this is another one of those creepy things that I don't like, don't appreciate in my life. She basically finds a hallway full of those creepy looking white things that are dressed like nurses. So, talk about my worst nightmare scenario. It's a dark place, narrow place that I have to walk through, and it's littered with these doll mannequin looking things. So that gave me not flashbacks, but what's the word I'm looking for? Not anxiety either. I don't know. I just didn't feel comfortable watching this part of
I
the movie.
love this scene. I actually took notes down because I really want to recreate some of my horror dolls that I'm still working on, and hopefully make them inspired by one of the nurses with gauze and stuff.
One of the creepiest scenes for me, at least in the personal sense, because I'm not a big fan of anything that's like a doll ever.
And they move like a doll too.
Yeah, they move weird, and actually, yeah, no, that was, I mean, she has to walk through them and kind of just like rub her body on them as she's walking because they're so packed together that she can't, there's no space. So as she's walking, like her body's like, I don't know.
I thought at one point she was gonna get cut.
Yeah, because as she's walking, they start moving. They start stabbing in the dark, right? Kind of like stabbing, a like blindly in the dark. And I was like, oh no, this is like nightmare for Chewie right here. So, anyways, she's able to go past them somehow, and she finds a room. And in that room is none other than Alessa. And Alessa, we get like a little flashback here. Alessa was a girl who was, as we mentioned, the daughter of Dahlia. And Dahlia is the sister of Karen, aka Christabella. So the weird looking cult lady is Alessa's aunt. And basically, what we get from the scene, or at least what I got from the scene, is that it's a flashback that Christabella was always really religious and she considered Alessa to be a sin or a witch, rather, because she was born out of wedlock, meaning that Dahlia was not married to her father. So then it was reported that Alessa was assaulted by a school janitor who was actually the guy that was tied up in the bathroom with all those chains.
Yeah.
And so she convinces the mom, Dahlia, to basically burn her daughter alive. in her mind, this lady thought that, okay, you know what, your daughter is, it's her fault that this happened to her because she is born out of wedlock. So basically she blamed the kid for what happened to her at the hands of this guy that took advantage of her. And she's like, oh, that's what she gets because if she had a dad, whatever, if you guys had been married, this never would have happened.
Yeah, it's, and what's so shocking to me, I think, is that this is real life horror stories that we hear all the time. And it's just so sad how some people think about that in that very sensitive situation. And it's just, it's horrible. It's like the child is innocent. And this, yeah, definitely, this seems definitely very sensitive. It was definitely triggering in many ways. And it just, towards the end, I was definitely happy towards the end. But of course, yeah, it's just, it's so sad that there are people out there that do have that mindset. It's just bizarre to me. So I just think, you know, we see the sweet child, and it doesn't matter where, you know, if there was marriage or not, it doesn't matter. And just the innocence and purity that has always been there no matter what had happened to her, and there's still that purity. And it's just, man, it's such a heartstring pull for sure.
When you find this out, it's like, oh wow, like, so she's the one that convinced her mom to basically burn her alive because something terrible happened to her.
And brainwashed, yeah, too.
So she convinced the mom that it was the kid's fault that this guy did what he did to her because she was born out of wedlock. So at one point though, the mom had a change of heart and she tried to call the cops, and one of the cops that she called was the guy that's been hanging out with the dad, with Chris. So this whole time, this cop that I called useless earlier, he knew that something weird was happening in this town, but he didn't want the dad to find out. So because he went actually with the mom and they didn't get there in time, so the thing burned, whatever. But my point is that this cop already knew what was going on in this place, and he is like, nope, your wife just ran away. Let her be. She's gone. Bye-bye. Instead of trying to help him, but yeah, this town is full of weird people. So we learn, Mariah, that Alessa actually survived this burning. But she was so angry and so full of hatred that basically something, I don't know, maybe like a supernatural entity allowed her to, I guess, split herself in half. And one half is her, still alive in that room, many years later, as an adult woman, but she's still super burned, so she's in really bad shape. And the other half of her is Sharon, the girl that Rose has been raising as her daughter. So she basically tells Rose, the mom, if you let me possess you, I will help you get her back. So I don't even know if I want to ask you this question, Mariah. But okay. Let's just say in the context of her, of Rose, I mean, of course, you know, she's going to accept, but do you think she would have thought about it? Or do you think she accepted like unconditionally because she loves this girl so much?
If it was me, I would unconditionally. Absolutely. For my daughter, for my son. Absolutely. Not even thinking about it. In a movie, of course. But yes, absolutely. That's just, it's so powerful. Like a parent's love. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how it feels, but I mean, I have Samara, who's my dog. and I always call her Dogter. I would absolutely do anything for her. She is my darling angel on earth. And I just think it's so beautiful that she does accept right away. She's like, "What do I need to do to get my baby back? Tell me, and I'll do anything." And it's just how strong the love is for her daughter, even though it's not like a blood daughter. She's, of course, that we learned she's adopted. But even adoption, just it just shows you the true love of a mother here. It doesn't matter if it's if you had it or not, the mother instinct is just so powerful, and it's so beautiful to see on screen.
I agree with you. I think that's kind of the angle they were going for with this. Showing that it doesn't matter if you adopted a child, that means that you did it because you are gonna take care of the child. You're gonna raise them as if they were your own. And of course you're gonna love them as a parent. And that's what we see here in this scene, I think, that Rose decides, you know what, I don't care, the demon's gonna possess me. All that I care is I want to make sure that my daughter is safe, even though she's not my biological daughter. Because she has grown so close to her that she now feels like she is her daughter and that she will do anything for her. That's what I got from this. And Rose is able to go back to the church and she starts to kind of argue with the Karen, Christabella. And the lady, of course, being a Karen, just stabs her in the heart to, like, nah, be quiet. I don't want to talk to you. So she stabs Rose. But that meant that because Alessa had possessed Rose, she was inside her body. And when she started bleeding, she was able to come out and take revenge on all these people. And this, I think, was a very. It's gonna make me sound weird, but a cool scene, Mariah. Because she's finally able to get back at the people who did this to her so many years before. So, again, with the Hellraiser vibes, because all these chains
Chains.
wires start ripping everyone apart, basically. And of course, we get to see how Christabella meets her end. She's basically. What's the word that I want to use for this? I mean, torn apart, but there's a word that I wanted to use and I forgot it. Damn it.
Oh no.
I'll see if I can think of it. But anyways, the Alessa uses her powers to basically rip this woman apart, piece by piece, and I could not help but cheer for that moment. I don't know about you. How does this scene make you feel?
Absolutely. It wasn't super intense like Hellraiser, but very close. Very, very close. And I think it has to do probably with the color of the blood, because in one point when Christabella's body is being torn apart, it almost looks like a light pink. Or like a light red, almost like a pink color. So I was like, this is no Hellraiser. Hellraiser would do like bloody red. So that was kind of interesting to see, like just a different take. But with the chains and everything, wow. And I definitely feel a lot of times, meant I don't want to say like mentally, but a lot of times that you have been in a situation like in a real life situation like this, when you do see justice being served, whether it's, of course, life in prison, you know, when something like an assault happens, so like this with a innocent child and stuff, it is very, I want to say, very relief, like you feel relieved from this huge, heavy thing inside your heart. I feel like it was very cool, definitely cool to like watch in a horror movie sense, of course, not in real life, but in a horror movie sense, just how how strong that relief must be too. Just, I guess, taking your power back was really cool. Just seeing a movie, horror movie sense. And yeah, I loved that absolutely, like 100%. It was so good.
Yeah, like you, I kind of believe in retribution, which is what happened here. Basically, this girl went through something horrible. She had to endure it for all these years, and she's finally able to get back at the people who put her in that place. So that's why I was cheering for her in the end. Because that's what I think those people deserved in the movie universe. But, anyways.
Absolutely.
Sometimes the things that we say in this podcast, it may make us sound like we're psychotic, like psychopaths, but we're not.
No, but like I feel like we actually have like real life situations where we can actually relate to a lot of different situations. And in the horror movie sense, in bringing that to life, and just seeing like, yeah, this actually does happen, and in different ways and
Yeah, of
stuff, and
course.
different results and stuff. But yeah, that was really amazing to see.
So eventually, both halves of Alessa slash Sharon are able to kind of, I guess, reunite. And so Rose and Sharon are able to leave the town after all. And they drive back home, but they can't talk to the dad because the dad, by this point, I kind of forgot about him for a little bit, but basically the cop that was aware of all this, he arrested the dad and he's like, you know what, I'm gonna let you go, but you gotta go back home and never talk about this to anyone, never come back here ever again. So he went back home and you see them getting home, but it looks different, it looks dark, not dark, but it looks like a different filter.
Yeah, just very gray.
They used a different Instagram filter for this.
Yeah,
And so you know they left the town and they're back home, but not really, because they're not in the same reality, like in the same universe anymore. They're kind of still trapped somewhere else. And that's kind of how the movie ends, in like a weird, it's a satisfying ending in one way, because again, the people got what they deserved, but they don't get to be reunited with their husband and dad, respectively. So, how do you feel about that ending?
it made me kind of sad because it definitely reminded me of Stranger Things. And spoiler alert, in Stranger Things, of course, we see the little boy being reunited with his mom again. So that's a spoiler alert for Stranger Things. But that's how I felt in this one. It didn't have that reunited. But we do see the dad actually in real life. See that the door was open while he was napping, and he could kind of sense where maybe they were. And also in the other universe, or the dimension, the Silent Hill dimension, we see Rose and her daughter. And we actually see Rose looking at the sofa in the other dimension where he's actually sleeping on. So I wonder what she's feeling at that moment, because when he actually is looking for her earlier in the movie, we see that he actually can smell her perfume, even though she's in the Silent Hill dimension and not in the real life dimension where he is. So I'm thinking maybe she can just sense his aura or scent or know he is there. So that was really creepy, but also can be satisfying in a way, thinking you always feel they're there in some way, even though you can't see them, which is really spooky and very paranormal as well. And at one point, I was really confused in the end, because I thought, okay, so In real life, does that mean that Rose and the little girl are just missing forever? That's kind of like the cliffhanger that I got.
I think so. I think that it's meant to say that they're not gonna get together anymore. But like you mentioned, they can still feel each other around. But that's why I think this ending is, like you said, a little bit bittersweet, a little sad maybe.
Yes.
So yeah, essentially that's how the movie ends, Mariah. And again, kind of sad. But I guess before we go on to the scores, do you have any cool facts for us to learn about this film?
Yes, I do. I do. I do. I do. Okay, so I know you said this is your scary, this, or I guess scary scene that you thought was or were, whatever. So apparently those nurses actually, they when they first like came alive, while filming that scene, it was actually filmed of them walking backwards and then running the film in reverse. So I guess that's why you get that doll-like movement, perhaps, because it was just filmed in reverse. Or I mean, yeah, they ran the film in reverse, so they had them walk backwards. Ugh, it sounds creepy, and now I really want to do something like that for ASMR. So I think that would be kind of cool and kind of creepy. Get inspired by this movie. And also, too, a lot of the creatures in the film were also played by dancers, so they can be flexible enough to create like disturbing movements and stuff. And oh, I did want to mention this because I did want to mention, if you put your heart into something you absolutely love, you can totally make it happen, because I've seen it before. So apparently the director, I'm sorry. I think his name is Chris. I'm just gonna call him Chris. So it took him 5 years to obtain the rights to make the film. He was given the rights after he persuade, I guess, the creator of the video game, describing how much Silent Hill meant to him and stuff. And apparently he had also sent scenes that he filmed with his own dollar cut up and overlaid with music with games and stuff. So I just think that's so amazing, because that is a real life right there. If you set your mind and heart to something you really, really want, you can totally make it happen.
That's a lot of dedication, and that's because he wasn't even sure he was gonna get the job.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Just, I mean, that hard work and persistence. And of course, in a healthy, not like stalker way. Not in unhealthy real life situations. But yeah, it just shows you when it comes to work stuff and how just not giving up on something. There's always light at the end of the tunnel, no matter how much work he can put up. Oh, and so the last one too, the waterfall. I know you mentioned the beginning of the film. It was when I think we see the little girl kind of like in the edge of something, or
Oh yeah,
I
when she's
mentioned the waterfall.
sleepwalking, yeah.
Yes. So that one is called the Devil's Punch Bowl, and it's in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. So you can actually visit this place
Oh, cool.
today. So yeah, that was really, really cool. And I'm like, oh, I want to go to Canada, but I need my passport. So yeah, that was kind of cool.
Got a
So
passport, so I guess I
yeah,
should head
fun.
out that way sometime.
Yeah, I need to get mine. Leave the country.
Sounds like a road trip, Mariah.
Yeah. And that is all.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that with us. That is some cool information, especially that about the guy doing that everything like that and not even knowing for a fact that they were gonna hire him. He must have done a lot of work for that.
Oh, yes.
So, Mariah, on to the scores. So, how many? What do I want to use for this? How many creepy nurses creepy doll nurses. Let's go with that. How many creepy doll nurses out of 10 does this movie get for you, and why?
10. And because it was super satisfying seeing the game that I grew up with my brother playing on PlayStation, also shattered memories, come to life. And also the fact that it just has a creepy little girl and her storyline is just so bittersweet. And just seeing the power in the end and everything. I loved this movie. It was just very bittersweet to me in my heart, and I wish I would have watched it around the same time when The Ring came out in theaters when I was about 7 years old when that came out. And I wish I would have watched this movie back in the day when it first came out, but I definitely appreciate it now as an adult. So I loved that I got to play this game first and actually enjoy everything and the storyline, and then seeing it for the first time today actually was just everything. I'm super excited where I put down in my Amazon wish list saying that I added it to my wish list. So hopefully I'll get it for my birthday next month. I loved it. Loved it so much. The colors, the blues that were used, and it also had a lot of grays too. And I feel that just got my emotions just sad, and it pulled all the right emotions. And I didn't want to pause it at all. I was like, no breaks during this film. This is too good to go and do whatever or get a popcorn and stuff.
Awesome, Mariah. Well, I'm gonna give it a slightly lower score than you.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm gonna give the movie an 8 because I thought, I mean, it's a good movie. I liked it. It's
That's
enjoyable.
pretty high for you.
It's enjoy. Nah, what do you mean that? I did enjoy it. I thought it was cool. I, of course, can't compare it to the first game because I've never played it, but I can compare it to the second one a little bit. I think they captured the essence of Silent Hill pretty well. It does look very much like the town in the games, as far as the atmosphere of it, the fog and all the beat up buildings and the abandoned cars and all that stuff. So that part of it was good. I think the story could have been a little better, maybe, and that's why I'm taking 2 points off for this. Because, yes, I feel the story could have been a little better. I mean, there's some things I didn't like, but overall, it's a very enjoyable film. I think if you are a fan of the games, I do recommend you watch this and try to watch it as a movie, maybe, because it's unfortunate that a lot of times movies get made that are based on games and they have nothing to do with the games whatsoever.
Yeah, that definitely reminds me of Resident Evil towards the very end, for like the end of the movies and stuff and the video games.
Yeah, those movies have nothing to do with the games.
I love how like the frustration in your voice is. Like, yeah, I totally relate to that.
I am gonna give them credit though, because the first two movies are okay in that series of movies. The first one that came out like in 2002 maybe, and then the second one that came out maybe like a 2 or 3 years after that. They are the closest to the games out of all the other ones, but skip the rest of them because they all suck. Yeah, no. And what about the villain? Who is the villain for this movie, Maria? Who do you think should be the bad guy here?
I always say Christabel. Christabel?
Christabella.
Christabella. She is a demon. Not demon, but just a very evil spirited, I'd
I'm
say.
going to agree with you because basically this entire movie happened because of her.
Oh, yeah.
It was her decision to have this child sacrificed because of what happened. She thought the child was a witch.
And not instead of actually helping the child heal of her innocence being stolen and stuff. And we do see that in real life, that a lot of people do see that. It's like, girl, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
type of thing. And so yeah, I just felt that we do actually have real monsters like that in real life.
Oh, yes.
And it's so sad. But yeah, I 100% the villain.
So, how many skulls does she get out of 10 then?
Skulls, like how bad she is?
Yes.
I would say absolutely 10. If I can give her 1,000, I would. Just for sure. Just so evil. So evil. And oh, just makes me wanna like just oh, just throw water on the floor or something. My violence not too crazy, but yeah.
I can just picture you doing that, and it just gave me a funny visual image. So, I am going to agree with you that she is evil, that she's very manipulative, very unlikable. I don't like this woman whatsoever, but she doesn't really have any abilities, supernatural abilities, but I think just her evil nature as a person and the fact that she's able to control everyone in the town, because I don't know why they all look up to her, to be honest, but they do. So she's able to convince these people to follow her somehow. And yeah, I'm gonna go with a 10 for her too. She's trash. She's a trash of a human being. All right, Maria, so that was our episode on Silent Hill. That's going to be all for us here at EMBL, Exploring the Myths Behind the Legends. We want to thank you guys for listening into this episode on Silent Hill, the movie from 2006. Before we sign off, I would like to ask you to please go to our Linktree page, which is linktree.com/MythsBehindLGDS. And on there, you're going to find all of our links to our social media accounts like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, etc. You're also going to be able to find a link to our online store where you can score some sweet EMBO swag for yourselves. And if you're listening to us on a service that allows you to score the podcasts, do give us a top score because we are cool like that, are we not, Mariah?
Absolutely.
Awesome. So, once again, that's going to be all. Thank you once again. And we want to ask you to stay away from weird people with no arms that spit black acid at you in the streets. Stay away from weird, creepy nurses that are gonna stab you in the dark, too. And having said that, until we see you on the next one, have a good one.